Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the princes of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Hor, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the brush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at the great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandal from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. He said further, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have obsessed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmaster. Indeed, I know their suffering. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the countries of Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. The cry of Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them, so come, I send you to Prazo and bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kathleen, for reading this morning's scripture passage. She did such a wonderful job, and there were many towns and names that she had to pronounce. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your will and speak your truth. And Lord, I ask that we hear these words to see how they are important in our lives and to learn from your word through the scriptures. Amen. So I continue a sermon series looking at 8 different people in the Bible that God called. And as we know, and as I had you do a couple of weeks ago, we know that God calls many people, from Noah to Ruth to Job to the disciples to Lazarus, many people throughout the scriptures. But there are 8 specific people that God calls, and when he calls them, he specifically says their name 2 times in a row. He says, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Jacob, Jacob, Samuel, Samuel, Martha, Martha, Simon Peter, my God, Saul, Saul. I mean, to look at these 8 people, and when God calls them for a specific purpose. We know in our own lives, God is calling us. God didn't just create us in our mother's womb, make us unique, and give us gifts and skills, and then just said, I'm done with you. No, God continues to be active and present in our lives, calling us for specific things, special plans for us to fulfill his mission. God calls each and every one of us. And from these different people in the scriptures, we can learn how God called them and how God calls us today as well. And in this morning's message, we are looking at Moses when God calls him, a very famous scene of the burning bush before Moses. But first, I want to start with a quote that I read recently. There's a motivational speaker, his name is Steve Maraboli, and he said that every time I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. Think about that. Every time you are rejected from something good, you are actually being redirected to something better. We know our own lives are full of ups and downs, of rejections and of triumphs and different things that happen in our lives. This motivational speaker, Steve Maraboli, his own life was, he said, filled with rejection. His parents lived a life of poverty in Chile and immigrated to the U.S. in the 60s to make a better life for themselves and their children. Steve said he had a hard time in school growing up with immigrant parents. He was often rejected by his peers or made fun of. Steve said that in school he also had learning disabilities and his teachers rejected him because he wasn't learning at the right pace with the other students. He even said he spent his high school years at a special remedial school. And then after high school, he said he would apply for jobs and was being rejected time after time after time and not finding the jobs that he needed or things that he needed to do. So then he decided to join the U.S. Air Force. And in the military, he would try to rise up in the ranks, but the officers, the commanding officers, would not promote him. He was rejected often. He ended up working for just a long time then for the military police because that was a place that accepted him. And then after the military, as a vet, he found it hard to find a meaningful career or job afterwards. His father by then had a construction company, and he tried to help his father with a business, and he took some business classes, but he didn't feel like he fit in with that world. He felt rejected by that world. So then he began to study social behavior, and he loved meeting people and talking to people and sharing life experiences. And then he became known as a great speaker who combined the business world with the social world of helping people. And in his comments about his life and how things happened, he often says, "Every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better." Our own lives, we experience rejection, we experience failures, and what we do with those rejections and failures makes us a better person. To think about maybe that is God then redirecting our life towards something better. And in this morning's scripture passage, we see Moses himself. His life was so unique. They say he lived to over 120 years old, and each time his life span was kind of narrated in 40 years. The first 40 years of his life itself was filled with many ups and downs, for we know the story of Moses' birth, how it would have been a happy, wonderful time for his mother, his father, his sister to celebrate the birth of Moses, the son, into the family. But we know Moses lived in a precarious time. The Pharaoh feared. Pharaoh was told through dreams and visions and by his advisors that someone would soon take his place. Someone would soon bring down his kingdom. So the Pharaoh, fearing this, decided to kill all the Jewish babies. And Moses was born during that time, and his mother, fearing for his life, put him into a river where he was found by the Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses then went away, was sent away from his family, rejected by his family. They did this, though. They redirected his life because they wanted him to live, to be able to survive. And he did do just that. He then grew up in the Pharaoh's household. But the wonderful thing is that his birth mother was able to be sort of like his nurse mother. So his mother was with him during the first 12 years of his life. And they say his birth mother then taught him the wonderful things about God, about being faithful and trusting in the Lord, even as the Pharaoh and his family were teaching Moses how to grow up in a royal family. They were giving him the skills he needed to eventually run Egypt and be part of Pharaoh's family. But Moses' life was then rejected in a new and different way. As an adult, they say, around 40 years old, he saw a fellow Egyptian beating a slave. And Moses knew the teachings of his mother, his nurse mother, as he grew up about how God loved all people, how God cared for all people. And Moses knew it was wrong for the slave to be beaten. So Moses then killed the slave owner. He then had to reject his rich and royal lifestyle. He knew he could no longer be part of Pharaoh's family, so he fled the city. His life had been rejected and then redirected. And then Moses found a right person, a man named Jethro, who owned a farm with many sheep. He was like a rancher, and he worked for Jethro and fell in love with Jethro's daughter and married the daughter and had two sons. He was having a great life. They say then that God spent 40 years with Moses as Moses was a sheep herder, teaching Moses the ways of patience and of trust. And as a sheep herder watching over sheep, they must themselves have patience and trust. There's a scripture passage from Numbers 12, verse 3, that Moses says he was a man who was very humble, more humble than all men on earth. God was using Moses and teaching him during this time how to be meek and humble. So then Moses comes to the point in his life where we see his encounter with the burning bush. He is living this life. He is happy. He is a shepherd. He has a wife. He has family and sons. He knows where his next meal is coming from. He is proud of his job as a shepherd. But we see in this morning's passage from Exodus that Moses is keeping watch over the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he's in a place where he comes to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of a bush, and he looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Now, if you've been paying attention to past sermon messages and the people we've spoken about, as we've looked at Abraham and as we've looked at Jacob, we know the Mount of Horeb, this place of God, was an important place. We know for Abraham, it was the place that God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. And at Horeb, we know it was sort of the border of the lands where Jacob was to cross before he went to see his son Joseph. This place, over and over again through the scriptures and to the people that God is calling, is an important place, a holy place, God's place. And it is here at Horeb that Moses encounters God in a unique and surprising way. He sees a bush that is on fire, but yet the bush is not being consumed. What an amazing sight to see. And Moses says, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. Now, it is so important to see that Moses is choosing to turn aside and look at the bush. Because if you know Moses' job as a shepherd, it would have been very dangerous to take his eyes off the sheep. As a shepherd, he was sometimes in charge of 50, 75, or even 100 sheep by himself. Maybe he had a sheepdog to help him. So then if he were to divert his gaze from the sheep he was watching over to instead this bush, he would have put the lives of the sheep in danger. A sheep could have wandered off. A wolf could have came in and taken the sheep. Many things could have happened to the sheep. And the sheep were his livelihood, his career. He was also so proud of helping out his father-in-law, watching the family sheep. But Moses instead chose not to stay focused on this responsibility before him, but instead he redirected and he turned his eyes to the burning bush. Moses says, I must turn aside and look at this great sight. He is aware, even if it's in the back of his mind, he's aware that something amazing is happening before him, that something is being sent to him by God. An angel of the Lord appears in a flame right out of the bush. And as Moses turns and looks at the bush, the Lord saw that Moses had turned, and God calls out to him from the bush saying, Moses, Moses, again, a name is being called, but not just said once, but twice in a row. Moses, Moses. And Moses answers, here I am. Moses turns to see the bush. We are reminded in the scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we must cast all our anxieties onto God because he cares for us. And Moses was doing just that. Sure, as a shepherd, he probably had anxieties. If he turned his gaze away from the sheep, they could have been eaten by a wolf. Sheep could have wandered off and he would not have known where they went because he wasn't watching them. And even a burning bush in front of him. What if the other bushes caught on fire and the sheep need these bushes and plantations to eat? There was much danger happening around him. But Moses took that leap of faith. He knew he was being redirected and he looked at the bush and he heard God calling him. Moses, Moses. And Moses answers correctly when God was calling him. He says, here I am. The Lord then says, do not come closer, but remove your sandals from your feet, for the place for which you are standing is holy ground. That Mount Horeb, that mountain of God, is holy ground. And the Lord says further, I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses then, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses is experiencing many things here, and I'm going to have to end the sermon and continue it next Sunday. But we need to pay attention to this important thing, that God reminded Moses he is on holy ground, and he's about to tell him an important message. But to God, he knew the great challenge would be to ask Moses to remove his sandals from his feet. Because again, as a shepherd, it was so important for him to have sandals. Sandals protected his feet from the tough terrain that he would walk as a shepherd. Sandals protected his feet if he needed to have shoes on, so if a sheep did wander off, he'd be able to run fast and well with his feet in the sandals. Sandals were also needed as he continued to walk from place to place and be respected. You know, he didn't want to show up at a place to shell his sheep or to help his father-in-law in bare feet. But God was challenging him. He was redirecting him in a new way and saying, turn to me, Moses. respect me and take off your shoes, to take that risk. And Moses was answering God's call. And we're going to hear next Sunday what God is calling Moses to do and how we ourselves can learn from that. But remember Moses' life as well, how he was rejected often, but then redirected, rejected from what he thought was good, but redirected to something that was even better. And think about your own lives. Were you ever rejected from something that you thought was so great and wonderful that you just were crushed by that rejection or lost after that failure happened? But then think about what happened after. God has plans for each and every one of you and will bring forth new and even better and greater opportunities. I share myself just shortly before the closing of my sermon, just my own personal experience in seminary. I actually started school at Claremont School of Theology many, many years ago. I went as a part-time student. They had a great scholarship for ethnic minority students, giving you 50% tuition. Of course, that meant that I only was able to take half the number of classes. And I felt often rejected, not accepted by the other students who went full-time, or teachers who wanted to meet with me at certain times, but I couldn't meet with them because I had my youth director job or other things I was doing. So I ended up leaving Claremont School of Theology, thinking, well, maybe the call to ministry isn't for me because I can't complete this Master's of Divinity degree. I felt rejected by the school or rejected or lost by God in my own call to ministry. But a few years later, I still felt called again and knew it was a call that I couldn't ignore, so I decided to go back to seminary. And I decided, well, maybe Claremont is not the place for me. I love California, I love being close to my parents, but I decided to take a leap of faith and be redirected to a new place. I ended up at Garrett Evangelical Seminary. And the funny story is, even though I didn't finish at Garrett, I did meet Phil there. So my joke is, even though I didn't get my MDiv, Master's of Divinity degree from Garrett, I did get my Mrs. MRS because I met Phil, who became my future husband. But to be honest, when I left Garrett, I was scared. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to continue at another school. I didn't know what the Board of Ordained Ministry would say to me. Eva, why were you at Claremont now, and then Garrett, and now you're switching again? I was fearful of all these things, but I knew that God was calling me to a different place and redirecting me to a different place. So I did end up finishing my Master's of Divinity degree at Claremont, going back there. And the Board of Ordained Ministry passed me. I'm so thankful and blessed my first time trying, writing all those papers, taking their interviews, explaining about my seminary degree and the work that I did. And I knew that God, every time I was being rejected or going from one place but being redirected to another, was part of God's plans for me, even the way God brought me to this church. So we need to be aware of how God works in our lives to answer when he calls us and to be okay and turn to him when he is redirecting us. So I challenge you to think about that this week, and we'll continue to look at Moses next week. But let us pray first. Lord, we know that you call us in our lives and that you work in mysterious ways. And sometimes you send us messages just as you sent a message to Moses through the burning bush. We need to pay attention when you call our name, Lord, and to know that you are redirecting us even though we experience rejection, even though we experience failures. But Lord, we know that these things will make us stronger and more ready to turn to you and to serve you faithfully as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.